Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, once again, the Lord has given us a wonderful day that we can serve Him, we can praise Him and thank Him. He's coming back and taking over this planet, and we can rejoice in that fact. We're going to be talking today from the scripture verse, and I heard somebody preach on the radio. I'm not going to give his sermon, but I thought the verse is a great verse in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And Jesus Christ connects himself with his words, and we're all connected with our words. You can't separate our words from us. But before we talk about this, we have with us in the studio today Pastor Al Davis, and he has a wonderful scientific report that we enjoy every week.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and it's good to be with you today. And again, a reminder that you can check out Bruce's program or the webpage for Bruce's program, Where is God's Word, at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And you can find some past programs there and some information about Bruce and his ministry and some links to some of the various resources that he mentions from time to time. And that's all at whereisgodsword.com. And today I wanted to look at something here in the book of Job here, and caught me just a little bit ahead of myself here before I can get to it. And I've lost my page. Go ahead and say something there for a minute, Bruce. I can find my page again. I lost my page.
I'm glad to talk. You know, I'm glad that I'm not the only one that does things like that, you know. And so we're going to talk today about they're having a committee meeting in Ohio that is on Tuesday, February 9th at 9 a.m., and they're discussing this a bill that they want to pass on same-sex marriage, and we're going to be talking about that in relationship to the Scripture. The problem is today, in the United States, people are going to churches where they call themselves Christian and believe almost anything and everything, and we'll be talking about this. Down through the ages, and the Lord Jesus Christ connects the Bible with himself. In other words, you accept Christ, you have to accept the Bible. It's the two of them go together. I was in church not too long ago, and I heard somebody just fresh out of Bible school and said, well, we don't worship the book, the Bible, the book. We worship the God of the book. That is a dichotomy that should not be made. And it's a very false dichotomy. And Jesus says in one place, if ye abide in me and I abide in you, you shall ask what you will, shall be done unto you. And then he repeats himself. He says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. And there's many scripture verses that way. He connects the words in this book, the Bible. And furthermore, they say, we don't worship the book. That's another very false statement that a lot of people have in their mind today. The Psalm 119, if that is not worship of the words of God found in the book. Now, we're not talking about the paper and the ink, but we're talking about the very words in that book are the words of God. And Psalm 119 is worship of those words. Now, I believe by now you found your place, so you could go ahead. Okay, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Bruce. I'm sorry about that. In fact, it was right there in front of me. I just wasn't seeing past the end of my nose, I guess. But again, reminder, you can check things out at whereisgodsword.com. And I want to turn to Job chapter 28 and verse number 25 here today. And there's a passage here that is talking, and it says, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. And this is interesting. It's talking about God. And in fact, the whole sentence says in verse 24 and 25, for he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. And I want to look at specifically that phrase, the weight for the winds. It's talking about the air. Now, we all know water has weight. If anybody's ever had to carry buckets of water, you know water has weight. And a lot of times people don't realize just how much weight air has. And if you took the average person, the amount of surface area that you have, you know, looking down from a bird's eye view, you have about approximately 1 metric ton of air on your head right now. How's that? That make you feel good that you got about a ton? That's about 1,000 kilograms, I believe, of air pushing down on your head right now. And I've mentioned this to people in the past, and they say, well, I don't feel it. Well, that's because you've also got the same weight pushing at you from all sides. It's pushing at you all around, and we're in that air. It's the same weight that's inside. That's why when you go up in an airplane, or maybe if you go up down a hill real fast in a car, your ears pop because the air pressure changes. And this air pressure is right here in the Bible. In fact, a guy by the name of Evangelista Torricelli in the 1600s discovered this. He was helping out another famous scientist by the name of Galileo. And by the way, they say people who believe that God created the world haven't given us any major scientific discoveries. Galileo believed that God created the world. He gave us the telescope, amongst other things. And Torricelli here gave us some other information about barometric pressure, which led to the barometers that we have today, which are the major instruments that we use in telling the weather. My grandmother, we always say, it's going to rain because my bones are hurting. That was the air pressure changing. And some people can identify with that as the pressure changes. Some people get sinus headaches as a front moves through because the pressure is changing. When a storm goes through, we just had the blizzard not too long ago that hit the East Coast. And in the blizzard, like in a hurricane, the air pressure gets real low. And Torricelli also discovered that that's what causes the winds to occur. But Torricelli found that in helping Galileo do an experiment pumping water out of a well, that you could, no matter how hard you tried with a suction pump, you could only suck the water up so high. And as he experimented with that, he found that it would only go up about 9.7 meters up. And as he experimented with that, he thought, well, you know, if water has weight, what would happen if I used a heavier liquid like mercury? And so he made some calculations because he was also a mathematician, and he took a tube of mercury and he had it filled, and they had a basin full of mercury. This is back when they didn't call the hazmat team out for a drop of mercury laying around. And he had a basin full of mercury, and he put his thumb over the end of the tube, put the tube down inside the basin, and let go of the opening, uncovered the opening with his thumb, and the mercury in the tube fell by a certain degree. And it he found that because the mercury was about 13 and a half times heavier than the water, that the mercury would only rise or fall about one over 13.5 of the height of the water, about 30 inches. And this discovery was interesting in and of itself. He was trying to figure that out. And then one day it was raining, and he noticed that the mercury didn't fall as much. It stayed higher in the tube when he did this experiment. And then he noticed when it was clear outside, the mercury went down, and it was different ways that the mercury fell. And he realized that as the storms moved through, the reason for it was the air in the atmosphere had weight that was pushing down on the surface of the basin of mercury, and the more it pushed on it, the heavier the air was, the less the mercury fell, and the less weight that the air had, the more the mercury fell, and various things. And he discovered this, which led to the invention of the barometer, which helps us tell the weather today. And all of that comes to a fact that was given by Job, that was probably about 2,000 years before Christ. That air has weight. And nobody really realized that until Torricelli in the 1600s proved it.
What's the reference? Can you read that verse again? And
it's in Job chapter 28 and verse 24, 25. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, talking about God, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure.
Amen. I tell you, I really enjoy those reports that you're giving, you know, and I thank the Lord for you. So we were talking today, and somebody just handed me this, and So I'll read this again. But Tuesday, February 9th at 9 a.m. at the State House, they're going to have a committee meeting. And Ohio, it says on here, has wrongly complied with the U.S. Supreme Court ruling to issue same-sex marriage licenses. Now, my concern about this is if they make this in a legal way, then immediately, and I'll guarantee you within 1 month, they'll have these activist people that are involved in the promotion of sodomy because they have big money behind them and they have a lot of power. They will be suing ministers for not performing same-sex marriage. Now, how is it that we have this controversy in the United States today over this? Well, the problem is that under the name of Christianity, and since Christianity has historically been in this country and came here with most of the people that came to the United States of America, it is strongly recognized as the religion of America. And recently, despite what some people say, 90% of the people in the United States on recent polls identified themselves with Christianity, which is really something. But there is a big split here, and the split is this. What is Christianity based on? Now, in the United States, you could find socialists that are preaching socialism in the name of Christianity. Find even some people with Nazi beliefs promoting that in the name of Christianity, and almost any idea under the sun is being promoted under the name of Christianity. And one of the things that we want to make clear on this program here is this: Christianity, of course, is connected with Jesus Christ. That's the name of it, Christianity, after Christ. But Christ identifies himself with his words. And in studying the scripture, his words, he identifies the what is called the Tanakh or the Old Testament with his words. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, even as the glory of the only begotten Son of God. So the Word of God is so connected with Jesus. One place Jesus says, if ye abide in me and I abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it will be given you. Then he repeats himself like so many other places in the Bible. He'll make a statement and then explain the statement by a repetition of the statement and change and explain it. He says, first, if ye abide in me and I abide in you, that's Christ abiding in us. And we understand that. Most Christians understand about when we get saved, Christ is abiding in us. But then how does he abide in us? Well, he says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, see? And so in America, we have people calling themselves Christians, but they have developed an entirely different religion, yet using the same terminology. And the Bible says, in the King James Bible, it says, they change the truth of God into a lie. Now, in the modern ones, it says in the counterfeits, it says they exchange the truth of God for a lie. It sounds the same, but it's entirely different. Changing it into lies. Here's the truth, and you turned that truth into a lie in the name of truth, but exchange it means you simply dump the truth and you now start another set of beliefs. Could you state that in another way, Pastor Al?
Well, yeah, it makes sense, just like what you said, changing versus exchanging. I could give you, let's say, let's just say that you went out to a restaurant and you ordered a hamburger, and you could say, well, you know, this hamburger, it doesn't have any onion or tomato or ketchup on it. And, could you take care of that for me? And they give you the same hamburger back, but they put the onion on it. They put the ketchup on it. They put the tomato on it. They changed it. So there's some basis there, but they changed it. If I exchange something, you say, I don't like this hamburger. I'd rather have a tuna salad. And you give them the hamburger, and they give you something entirely different in its place.
I'm glad I asked you. That is excellent illustration. See,
put it in food terms. We understand that.
Yes, so. that is super. Because why we have this program is they have changed the Word of God. So many people think, well, it's just an updating, you know, and they're not, they didn't just update it. They put something, they brought in another text that was not in the text that they had before, see. And, you know, another problem is, and you could comment on this, but a lot of people, before they really understand what this issue is all about, they're talking about it. You know, they're pronouncing on it, making statements, mm-hmm. and they don't understand what they're talking about. And we're saying here that hundreds of changes have been made. It's not simply updating. And we're talking about these changes. So it comes up. Now, people say, well, they go by the originals. Number one, they don't have the original autographs. Nobody, if you ask them, when you get right down to it, no matter how much they talk about the originals, they do not have the originals. Isn't that right, Brother Al?
Well, I've not seen them anywhere. All I've ever seen when I've seen displays of old Bibles is, you know, here's an original King James, for instance, one of the first printings, or here's a manuscript from a Bible from, well, I don't know, the 1400s or something like that. Here's a fragment of the Dead Sea Scrolls or something, but that's all I've ever seen, and nobody living has ever probably seen an original.
Yeah, but they'll talk about that to young students in a Greek class, you know. And furthermore, I want to say this. These Greek classes, they don't even tell you where the text came from, you know. I mean, when I was studying Greek in college, they never told us where that Greek text came from. Don't you think that has some importance? They say now there's, somebody's counted 666 different Greek texts. See? Now, if you're talking about, they'll say, well, the Greek, we go by the Greek. And people are saying this all the time. Well, if they say that, that's an ignorant statement. Somebody has recently counted 666 different Greek texts. And so, you know, when somebody says, well, the Greek says, they're showing off, first of all, but they're very ignorant because there's a 666 Greek, different Greek texts. The second thing is there's lexicons, you know, and there's all kinds of lexicons. That's Greek-English dictionaries. And these Greek texts, most of them are put out by people, they don't even believe Jesus is God. They don't believe in basic Christianity. There's the lexicons. A lot of the people put them out. Trench, we can mention. I'm trying to, all of a sudden, some of the other ones slip my mind. They are on record as Unitarians. A preacher gets up and says, the Greek says, he, first of all, he's showing his ignorance. And this is pride also. Because he's showing you, you know, the Bible says he that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself. So he's showing how, he's trying to show how smart he is. Now, he may not like to admit that, but that's what's going on, you know. Then we got the problem of somebody gets behind a microscope, you know, or a microscope. I'm getting back to Al here. They get behind a microphone, you know, or they get behind a TV camera, and now they become an expert on this subject, you know. And so they start recommending everybody. One preacher recommends this Bible. The next one recommends another Bible, you know. And so they got all kinds of Bibles, and these Bibles disagree with each other. The Bible says in Corinthians we're all supposed to speak the same thing, you know. And it's just... What I'm saying is, in this program, we have mass anarchy. I never, by any standard whatsoever, it is insanity. It's crazy. I heard somebody say, if somebody messes with the authorized Bible, the King James Bible, why, God messes with their brain, you know. So what we have, the Bible says, divers weights and measurements are an abomination to the Lord. He's greatly disgusted with it. And you go into a grocery store and they have different measurements and everything when they weigh stuff. He says that's an abomination. I was trying to think of an illustration. Suppose you're in a large church. You have a senior pastor. You have about two or three associate pastors. And each one is teaching a different doctrine. Each one is given different directions, and these directions contradict one another. Isn't this not madness? I mean, it's insanity. And that's what's going on today. It's going on with these. One guy gets on and he says it should say this. Another one says it should say something else. The Greek says this and the Greek says that. Another guy recommends another Bible, the latest Bible that comes out, or counterfeit that comes out. And somebody to start with, you ought to read New Age Bible versions. You don't have to believe what it says. Read it and check the scripture verses. There's 2,500 changes from the readings of the King James, and they are not synonyms or words that mean the same thing. You need to read that book and then start checking before you get up there and recommend a new Bible. Check out the changes that have been made. I'll tell you one thing where they make a change. Almost every new one. Instead of saying they exchange the truth of God for a lie, what is that passage? It's in Romans chapter 1.
Just a moment here. I had just seen that.
Well, you can bring it up when you find it. And it says they change the truth of God into lie. Every last one of those modern ones will put that down because it hits those translators right between the eyes. That's what exactly they're doing. And they know it. They know what they're doing. And almost all of them call Joseph Jesus' father, Luke 2:33. And somebody says, well, that's his stepfather. But in the very same chapter, he corrects Mary for doing the very thing. She's covering up now. And she says, your father and I have sought you sorrowfully. Jesus says in front of all the doctors of the law, I must be about my father's business. You know, and the modern ones say that. And these translators, they got commentaries when they translate. They got lexicons. They got they know what they're doing when they put these readings in there. When they changed 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. They knew what they were doing. He who. That's not even a grammatical sentence. And there's no Greek manuscript for that whatsoever, you know. They knew what they were doing. They don't believe Jesus is God. And the one that when I was in college, they used to say that American Standard Version, King James is good, you know, and it's but American Standard is really the accurate one. And they have a footnote right there. The translators have a footnote. The worship of the blind man of Jesus is the worship of the creature, not the creator. They call Jesus the creature. You know, and this thing has totally infiltrated the Greek departments. Now, listen, we've been talking about this book, but, you know, as a preacher, suppose you disagree with what we're saying here today. Why don't you read both sides of the issue so that you know at least what we're talking about? And we advertise this book. It's called New Age Bible Versions. You could see it. Let's tell them where the address is and the phone number. You have that on your
I have that right here.
It's, yeah, and it gets the whole subject. It quotes them. It's documented. You don't have to believe this stuff because we say it, but check it out for yourself. I want to say this. When I was younger, I used to hear these preachers, you know, and they came out of I don't want to attack institutions, but they came out of the so-called fundamental school. And they'd always correct the King James a couple of times. And if they forgot to do it right at the end, they'd remember, I forgot to correct it. So they'd give a couple of corrections right before they ended the message. And I used to study these corrections, and particularly after I took Greek in school. And I would check them out, see? And it was very interesting what I found. But what I'm saying is, you need to start to research this for yourself, and don't base your belief on the mocking that you heard, the ridicule that you heard in your Greek class if you're a preacher, or some generalities by some other person that has handed down what you don't know what he doesn't know what he's talking about. Now you don't either if you're promoting that. And listen, Bergen showed this. Over 99% of the ancient Greek manuscripts and church fathers backed the readings of the King James. And the translators were based it on, you say you believe in the original Greek. That's what the original Greek says. So the modern ones are based on less than 1%. They're called the eclectic texts because they disagree with each other. And it's a matter of truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." And we have it today. You can read it in the King James Bible. Well, God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.